Yeah, I could unmute myself. I don't know how to do this stuff yet. Let me start over. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hagmann Report. It's Tuesday, February 11th, 2025. Just want to welcome everyone into the show tonight. And thank you for joining the chat as well. Real joy. Danny Boy Smith, my goodness, so many people there. Wednesday Park, God bless you all, folks. Thank you again for following us on Rumble and being part of the program. Really appreciate that. I have a lot to get into, and that's why I've been doing these solo programs. Hopefully that's not a problem. Is that a problem? Is that a problem? I mean, it is a Hagmann Report, right? I'm joking. Eric the Tech and I were talking before the show. Anyway, I don't know how many people saw. I had a great time on InfoWars with Alex Jones earlier today. Did you catch that? How'd I do? Did I do all right? I don't know. What do you think? Alex is taking fire. We had a chance to talk and afterwards, I'm sorry, for a little bit. I mean, he's taken a lot of hits, I'm telling you. So keep him in your prayers, okay? Do that for me. Before I get started, I want to direct everyone's attention to chuckdefense.com for some, morning kick, whatever. chuckdefense.com/Hagmann. chuckdefense.com/Hagmann. You know, Chuck Norris, 84 young years old. I saw a video he made, and you can watch it too. He's still kicking people's behinds. What's shocking about his, his presence, okay, is he's got more energy. He's stronger. He can work out longer. And like I said, more energy, especially for his grandkids. And that's important. The quality of life that we have is really important, isn't it? So you want to have that energy. You want to have that stamina for your quality of life. And he was able to do this along with his wife, who feels like she's Chuck Norris says he still feels like in his 50s. His wife, she even started doing this one thing too, as shown in the video, said she never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner and she's got energy all day. And don't we all crave that? Again, quality of life. If you're dragging your behind around the house, it's not cool. Or at work or whatever. Anyway, Chuck made a special video that explains everything. Go to chuckdefense.com/Hagmann. 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 There's a link in the description box below. Check it out. Please do that. All right. So a couple of things. Boy, I'll tell you what. Some emails I got. Very interesting this afternoon after InfoWars, and some information I received. Going to be acting on that. I want to share that with the audience here first. Some additional information I didn't have, and I thought that was pretty good. Look at that ugly mug on the screen. Yeah, okay. Yeah. The ugly mug plus the picture on the right, whatever that is. Okay. Yeah. President Trump, I want to share this with everyone. President Trump is, well, I'll tell you what, I knew about this last week. I've known about this for a while, but last week I knew about this really with a degree of specificity. Now it was, well, yesterday it was published in the Epoch Times. And this is page 5 in the show notes. Go to Hagmann, 2 N's, HagmannPI.com, and click on the title of the program. And you can opens up to the audio, and you can download the audio and stuff. But it also has the show notes and links to these various articles. But in the Epoch Times, and this is important. Extremely important. This has something that this has got a lot to do with what's happening with, boy, I tell you what, when you fully understand what's going on right now, And you know what? I know 99.9% of you folks do. When you understand fully what's going on at Mar-a-Lago, in the White House, anywhere in the orbit of President Trump, yeah, you will be excited. You will be optimistic. But you'll also be have a tinge. There's that fear factor, okay? And it's not an unhealthy fear. It's a healthy fear. I've got to say that. It's a healthy fear. Sometimes if you don't have fear, man, that's a problem. Okay? Now, I'm not saying be afraid all the time. I'm not saying that at all. But that's, again, beside the point. But President Trump is expressing his desire for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about the two assassins. They are assassins. Thomas Matthew Crooks and Ryan Wesley Routh. He wants the full boat. He wants to find out why did Crooks have a total of 6 cell phones Thomas Matthew Crooks. Why did he have a cell phone with foreign encrypted apps? Well, I can tell you this. I can answer, at least with respect to Crooks, who is communicating using the encryption app with his handler. And his handler, of course, was he had more than one, has or had more than one, and all communications were done over these encrypted apps. Now, we have them. Eric the Tech hooked me up, you know, with the encrypted app programs, and I got to tell you, in my view, at my age, they're a pain in the ass to use. Okay, they just are. Maybe that's why Eric, I mean, he tortures me. When you folks aren't looking, he tortures me and then he beats me. Now you know the truth. It's elder abuse, I tell you. But this is important because along with the exposure, the expose of JFK, MLK, RFK, Epstein client list is coming out, will come out. This is what I've been hearing. That's right. Going back to 9/11, some information about 9/11. Am I certain that we're going to get the whole truth on this? On all of these? I don't know. If we don't, enough people will be pissed off to go after people like Anna Paulina Luna and James Comer and the entirety of the commission that oversees that particular group. And I'll be getting into what happened today with a news conference about that, about this announcement from James Comer and Anna Paulina Luna. But what I've been seeing, what I've been hearing is anything less than 100% transparency is unacceptable. That's what I've been hearing. Is that just a hollow promise? I don't think so. Not this time. There are too many of people like you and I inside the executive circle this time around. Gone are the deep state bureaucrats that really hobbled President Trump last term, you know, his first term. Now you have people, and you can see this by way of Musk, by way of Doge, by way of even President Trump coming out, Days of Thunder, they're calling it. They're calling his time so far. And you can see the rats fleeing the ship. But going back to this, President Trump wants the details. He wants the nitty gritty. And I can tell you this. From us, he'll get them to the extent we have them. That would make sense if you caught my appearance on Alex Jones. Basically, well, I'm not going to go over everything again, but we were involved in the investigation in Butler. And as I said on InfoWars, the latest in stats, if you want them, we expended well over 300 man hours. We used a team of 7 investigators and still are, actually. I cannot show my face in certain areas of different counties in western Pennsylvania. We traveled collectively over 3,000 miles simply in western Pennsylvania alone. We conducted over 100 in-person interviews. We obtained over 300 pages of information, some open source, some not. And I've generated right now just over 800 pages of investigative material, investigative documentation. And as I said on InfoWars as well, you know, there's a lot of talk about foreign groups that, specifically from Iran, who want to assassinate President Trump. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There is no foreign group that will or could assassinate President Trump without inside help. And there is plenty of that going around lately. You're going to see some high level dismissals when the time is right. This is why we need Kash Patel in right away. As well as, you know, for that matter, we need RFK in. We need Kash Patel and RFK for sure. But we need them in now. Kash Patel specifically. All right. The information on Epoch Times is pretty much, President Trump says, look, I'm entitled to know this information. He is. He is a victim. And this Ralph Ruth, whatever, however you say his last name, with the multiple cell phones, here's the nugget I got. Saying this for the first time anywhere. Why? Because I just don't care anymore. Because if you're going to find that Ralph has in his contact lists, in his at least one, if not two cell phones, and there's a reason I'm saying two, a number of Congress mopes, members of Congress. I want to see the texts. And by the way, so does President Trump. So you can read this article, but I'm telling you right now, there is an absolute, what would you call it? I mean, President Trump is not screwing around. And I'm going to tell you who else is really, really on clawing at this and for this information. God bless him. Don Jr. As well he should. It's his father. That's his dad. Oh, and Melania ain't too happy either. Tell you that right now. Okay. Now what I do with my show prep notes here. Here we go. Giddy up. Buckle in. Going for a ride. I was waiting for you, man. I was waiting for you.
Yeehaw.
How many openings do you want, man? Let's start out with the at least kind of a lighthearted, humorous note, okay? Dana Bash from CNN. Elon Musk broke Dana Bash. Absolutely broke him. Did you see this? Oh my gosh. I got to find it now. It's not that I sent you a lot of show prep, Eric the Tech, but I did, didn't I? Let's see. Did you see it on the show prep?
Video 8.
Oh, that's why I couldn't find it, because it's all the way down at the bottom. All right. Video 8. Yeah, I can't even explain this. You got to watch this for yourself. Remember, well, Big Balls, you remember that? Go ahead, Eric the Tech, if you need to. No? Okay. It's fine. Because you're going to have to find a different meme now, or a different song. And I didn't realize that was from AC/DC. I had no clue that was from... I'm not a fan of AC/DC, but anyway, not a fan of that. There's actually a song by that name. Well, here's CNN. Here's Dana Bash on CNN today. This is the perfect... This is how you troll the trolls. This is how you troll the morons in the legacy media. You just got to see this to really understand it. Cut 8, here it is.
Now, the disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls, tweeted this morning, democracy in America is being destroyed by judicial coup.
So this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online. So that would be one way that we could refer to him. He is now working at Musk's behest inside Doge. And we looked into his background. And so we found, you know, several notable things, Aaron, one of which is that this individual has founded multiple companies, including one with another unfortunate name, Tesla.Sexy LLC, which he established in 2021. He would have been around 16 years old. Now, this LLC controls dozens of web domains.
So, Kara, you know, you hear this, and you have known Elon Musk for years. So now you look at these young men who are now in data and in the private information about maybe hundreds of millions of American citizens as young as 19, the big balls here that Katie's talking about. Most of them are in their early 20s. There's an exception I'm going to get to in a minute. I'm curious, though, Kara, how well does even Musk know these young men, do you think?
I have no idea. I think there is no vetting whatsoever, as you can see, that's taken place. It took Katie and the really great team. Wired has done an astonishing job here. You know, I could make a joke that's probably why he was hired for all this ridiculous nonsense and other nefarious things. But, you know, there's an expression in technology that's not it's a feature, not a bug.
Okay, keep that up there. Can you put that back up or side by side? Yeah, okay. You realize they just had a discussion. I can't even say it. Smoking in the chat. Big hairy balls. I mean, so this is how.
Elon just, you know, guesses when he hires people at Tesla and then becomes the richest man in the world. Because
of course.
He just guesses.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, he probably went to an Antifa rally, grabbed some kid and hired him that way. I guarantee you. Okay. These young people, I don't care if you're 19 or I don't care what age you are. If you've got the talent, you go with the talent. But look at did you see those three women on mainstream media talking about Big Balls and Hairy Balls? Now, I don't mean to be profane. I don't mean that. But did you ever think, like 10, 20 years ago, you would ever see that on mainstream television? It really, the trolling is brilliant. So that's my lighthearted comment for lighthearted thing for today. Okay. Tonight, sometimes you just have to laugh, and sometimes you just have to accept that, you know, life is funny and people, I mean, oh, that scarf. Oh my gosh. That scarf. Ah, oh, just tighten that puppy up a little bit. Okay. So, President Trump. Yeah. And Agnes. Okay. You're killing me. Little pee holes in the snow. What the heck? She was crying? I don't know. She looks like she was crying. But anyway. Some good news, President Trump, and this is a difference between, good Lord, I'm going to have nightmares now. Okay, so Mark Fogel, who has been a prisoner in a Russian prison since 2021. Hey, who was, let's see, it would be Joe Biden, or the Biden regime was in the Oval Office then. And Mark Fogel was a teacher and was caught with his personal supply, not that I agree with this, of medicinal marijuana, right? So he was caught with that at a Russian airport, and he was tossed in prison. Because why? Because that's what they do. And you would think a teacher would know better, but I guess not. But that is eclipsed by the fact that, hey, President Trump picked up the phone, talked to Dr. Putin, said, hey, we need some resolution on this. And bada bing, bada bang, it happened.
How you doing?
How you doing? It'd be a shame if that prison burned down. Yeah. How you doing? Okay.
How you doing?
I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I'm trying to think of the different New York stuff. Video 13. The mother of freed U.S. prisoner from Russia, Mark Fogel, has some words to say about the statesman in the Oval Office. It's only 28 seconds long. This is cut 13 in the show notes.
Just trying to load.
Oh, that's all right. We can talk through this. Really, the difference between a statesman and a politician. Don't play it if it's not going to roll. I mean, if it's not going to load, don't worry about it, because we have a lot of other things to get into. How many of you caught this? Forget about that. And folks, it'll be in the show notes, so you can play it yourself. So one of the big items of news today, and here's what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to talk about the Epstein files a little bit. The response by the lunatic left. I'm going to give you some information about the activist judges. I've got some information about the DAs in the judicial system here in this country, who is really, they're attempting a coup from within. This is Lawfare 2.0. Let's see here. The people, the responsible for paying out, you know, $59 million in New York City, FEMA. They gone. We're going to hear from Mayorkas, who's he gone. Mayorkas has been strangely silent. Anyone see Mayorkas recently? No? I wonder if he's in a country where, you know, there's no extradition. Going to be, sadly, giving you some info about Letitia James and what she's up to. Again, the activist judges, and then how this will all play out, because there's a war going on right now. There's a couple of these fronts change in this war. This is just what I'm seeing. There's a war, and President Trump is going full exposure. Okay, going full. I'm going to lay everything out. I'm going to air the dirty laundry of George H.W. I'm going to air the dirty laundry of Clinton, Hillary Clinton. I'm going to, if nothing else, I didn't do it last time. I'm going to do it this time. That's his mental, I shouldn't say mental, because I don't know what's in his mind, but that's appears to be his tactics right now. We'll do it live. Actually, he could probably do that Bill O'Reilly thing instead of saying we'll do it live. I'm releasing everything. I'm telling. It's a kind of a good analogy, because he's pissed with good reason, because there are people in this country that have that are working to take this country down. I got a clip of Amy Klobuchar. And, you know, Peter Schweitzer wrote this book, Profiles in Corruption. And the books I show you, I have no financial interest in anything, any of these books. But it's interesting because, who did I say? Elizabeth Warren is who I meant to say, if I didn't say that. But Amy Klobuchar is also in this book, although she denies it. She one claim to fame of Klobuchar, okay, who was front and center during the inauguration. She's rough to her staff, but how would you imagine the mental place you would have to be in? Amy Klobuchar now having a member of your staff insisting that that member crawls under your desk and dry shave your legs.
We'll do it live.
They did it live. Just imagine. Where do you have to be up here? To me, that's like, I got nothing. I don't have anything. And Bernie Sanders, do you know the only reason today that Bernie Sanders is on scene? These are extemporaneous comments, of course. But do you know today the only... Do you know that 10 people, 10 votes, 10 votes in a 1980s mayoral election in Vermont is responsible for the creation of Bernie Sanders' political career? He won a mayoral election in Vermont by 10 votes. Had he lost that election?
With a recount?
There was no recount, I don't believe.
With 10 votes separation?
10 votes. Maybe there was. I don't know. But what do you want from me? A little Joe Pesci line there. 10 votes. And people say, well, my vote doesn't matter. And you know what? Maybe today things are so much different where they don't. If we go back to paper ballots and ID, yeah, I'm sure they will matter. But your voice matters. Maybe you don't think your vote matters. I'm going to show you right tonight that your voice matters. Your voice matters. What you do at home matters. And you know, this is something I was thinking about after InfoWars. I am so fortunate to have this platform. It's because of you folks. It's because of your trust and your support. Without that, I'd be out, I don't know, slinging newspapers. We still have those anymore? Of course we do. But everyone here, everyone in the chat, everyone who is really kind of guiding the chat and making cogent arguments, or not arguments, but cogent points, and being on, you know, you're all important in this time of war. We were born for this time. I got to tell you, I was down this weekend. I mean, really down. And I'm thinking, man, I'm not making it. I mean, what difference does it make, to quote Hillary Clinton? But, you know, what difference? And then today, after speaking with Alex, I'm thinking, the hits he's taken, the personal hits, the stuff going on. I wouldn't even ask him for 20 minutes on the show, okay? Because, man, things that folks don't know about that he keeps in. But I'm thinking, you know, he's making a difference. But you folks, no one, well, he does, he tells his audience, but you really are the key to everything. If you're listening and watching this, you're the key to everything. You really are. It's not really me. It's you folks. It's the audience. It's the people who are connected. And I like to think I've got a closer connection to the people in chat and the people, the listeners and viewers, than most people do. But it's you folks that really make the difference. All right. Enough of that. So Representative Anna Paulina Luna had a press conference along with James Comer today. And they made some very assertive statements. Now, they're part of a smaller working group under I keep wanting to say oversight committee, but that's not correct. Under the larger, broader committee. I'm not going to play the entire press conference, obviously, but just like 2 minute snippets that really hit the important parts from the press conference. This addresses again JFK, RFK. MLK, UFOs, USOs, I think, or I don't, I'm, I think that's what they call them. Epstein, I think Epstein was mentioned. If not, she wrote about it in a post on X, and some other things. So here is, now, of course, there was an introduction, and, you know, James Comer was introduced. Anna Paulina Luna started, made an opening statement after all that. All right, let's get to the meat of the conference. This is cut A. This is 6 minutes and 9 seconds into the conference, and we'll run it until 8 minutes and 30 seconds. This is kind of like the, again, the meat part one, or cut A. Here it is.
A few weeks ago, President Donald Trump made a historic announcement. With the stroke of a pen, he committed to declassifying the files concerning the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a decision not just monumental, but pivotal. It is with profound honor that I have been entrusted by Speaker Mike Johnson and Chairman James Comer to lead the House Oversight Task Force on Declassification of Federal Secrets. Together with the help of the White House, our intelligence allies, the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, we will be conducting investigations into the following: the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and Dr. Martin Luther King, unidentified aerial phenomena, also known as UAPs, and unidentified submerged objects, also known as USOs, the Epstein client list, the origins of COVID-19, and the 9/11 files. This task force will be a beacon of bipartisanship. On the Republican side, Representatives Burchett, Boebert, Burleson, Crane, Gill, and Mace will be joining me, although I'd like to note that I'm expanding this to the entire governing body and will be allowing certain members to wave on. Our first hearing is set for March. The date will be announced soon, and we've already initiated close to a dozen communications with various agencies, to include Pam Bondi at the Department of Justice and the Secretary of State. This will no longer be a task force that makes bold promises only to fade into irrelevance or send strongly worded letters. This will be a relentless pursuit of truth and transparency, and we will not stop until the American people have the answers they deserve. We will cut through the bureaucracy, challenge the stonewalling, and ensure that the American people finally get the truth that they have been denied for too long. If we are to endure and thrive as a nation, we must restore trust. Trust through transparency. The American people must be trusted to think for themselves, to form their own judgments from the truth that they are entitled to know. We've been treated like children for too long and kept in the dark by those we elected to serve us. It is my solemn duty to begin mending this trust, to form a new relationship between the government and the governed. Let us embark on this journey together towards a government that does not serve, but one that enlightens. That does not just serve, but one that enlightens. Trust through transparency, that begins now.
Okay, now you might be thinking, as I was, and I had to reach out and ask some questions about this, and I got the answers. If President Trump says release the files, release the dogs. Why aren't they just released? End of story. Snowden did it. Well, obviously you're dealing with bureaucracy. This behemoth of behemoth. Did I pronounce that right? Of a government. This Leviathan. Polina and Comer are operating the task force to make sure it gets done. They're also going to streamline that process. That's what I was told. And I'm old enough to remember when USO meant United Service Organization. They were, Bob Hope and the people in Vietnam singing to the troops, right? And entertaining the troops.
Back in my day,
don't you? You know what? We're gonna wrestle because you keep on me about my age. I don't look my age, do I?
You no. Got that pointy cane.
Pointy cane. I got one. It's a 50 caliber cane. And I don't walk with a cane, so don't even start. So what'd you think of that? Is that the first time you might have heard of undersea objects? No, I don't think so. What is your confidence, folks listening and viewing this, and the people in the chat, what's your confidence level on this? Do you think Comer and Anna Paulina Luna are going to be the assets they claim that they intend to be? Do you think they're going to hold to account those custodians of the documents that are being called to release? I kind of think it's going to start out that way. Because listen to this. Well, not this next cut, the third cut. But let's go to cut B. And then we'll go to cut C. I think cut C is the one. But let's go to cut B, because cut B is only 26 seconds long. Maybe it is the one. Well, let's find out together, and I'll tell you why. This has surprised me a little bit. Here's cut B.
Our first investigation will be announced, but it's going to be covering on a thorough investigation into the John F. Kennedy assassination. And I can tell you, based on what I've been seeing so far, the initial hearing that was actually held here in Congress was actually faulty in the single bullet theory. I believe that there were two shooters, and we should be finding more information as we are able to gain access into the SCIF, hopefully before the files are actually released to the public.
Okay. What do you think of that? If folks in the chat, is this your first time hearing or seeing that? I'm not sure. Is this your first time seeing that? No. Frog lady. Well, you're ahead of the curve on everything. I mean, really, you are. I'm serious about that. Okay. Thank you for answering that. First time. Okay, good. When I saw this, I was alerted to, I knew the press conference was going to be held. I guess it was like 3:00 today, and I was otherwise tied up. And of course, but then I got a phone call from, Josh Mez. He said, "Hey, did you see the press conference?" I said, "Nah, I was kind of busy." He said, "Watch it and then watch it again." He's going to come on tomorrow with me. He's got some information, some good information. You guys are going to love it. Anyway, so I did, and I heard that, and I thought, okay, Jerome Corsi wrote a book about, he co-authored a book with a medical doctor. Folks, the book, it's a heavy read, but I'm telling you what she or what is in that book was validated by this press conference. The validation came not about her, about the two shooters. The validation came about somebody messing with JFK's body pre-autopsy at Bethesda. Okay, why is this important to what's going on today? Because, you know, the biblical, everything that has been hidden will be revealed. If you believe that we are in the end times, and I'm getting there. I mean, I've never not believed it, but I was never dogmatic about it, but I am believing right now that we are going to see things and hear things about past events that we never thought we would ever hear in our lifetimes. We are going to be validated. People like Dr. Jerome Corsi validated in the book that, hey, somebody messed with the body. Roger Stone, LBJ, behind this, Mac Wallace and folks, you know the story, right? You know all of the stories. Pamela Files, maybe, perhaps, as well. James Files, we had Pamela Files on, right? If you didn't catch that, that was fascinating. James was in a hospice-type bed in the same room, and Pamela was telling the story and taking the questions. Jerome Corsi, his book, the medical doctor, pointed out that there was mercury in JFK's brain, traces of mercury, and wouldn't you know it, James Files said he used a, he was given a mercury-tipped bullet. Let's go to cut three, or cut C, I'm sorry, in the show notes. And then more after this, Cutsy.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on what we're actually looking to do with the JFK investigation, I'm looking to actually bring in some of the attending physicians at the initial assassination, and then also people that had been on the various commissions looking into, like the Warren Commission looking into the initial assassinations. There's been conflicting evidence, and I think that even the FBI at the time reported some anomalies in the initial autopsy at Bethesda, Maryland. All of those, though, seem to have been rinse and repeated in the media to push a certain narrative that we don't agree with. And so I think that in order to put to bed some of the theories that have been out there on John F. Kennedy, we have to know the full truth. And the full truth starts with transparency. And that's why these files is so important for the American people to read for themselves.
With this task force, what are you hoping to uncover as far as UAP that you have not already heard from other UAP?
The biggest information problems that we've had with UAPs is the amount of stonewalling, stovepiping, and also it seems that there is this push to gaslight the American people into looking at the evidence and then not fully believing it. I think for us, if we're writing the budget, for example, into the Pentagon, if we're writing the budget overall for whatever programs might be out there, why is it that members of Congress who are given a top secret security clearance are being denied access? That's not a free and true government. And so for us, especially being that we have now a Secretary of State who's actually open to declassification and Marco Rubio, we're hoping to present that information and at least acknowledge it from a government perspective that we are not alone, but also let's see what the evidence is.
Thank you. Have you already been in contact with or started to send requests to these different agencies and federal departments for this information?
Yes. In fact, letters went out this morning, not just on RFK, JFK, and MLK, but on everything that I had listed above to include UAPs, Epstein, and 9/11, and COVID, to the State Department, Department of Defense, CIA, and then also we'll be sending some to the FBI, and letters have also gone out to the NSA.
How is this going to be different than the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which did investigate both the John F. Kennedy assassination and the King assassination?
Well, what's interesting on that specific committee is what, to my understanding, when they actually brought in expert witnesses, they weren't actually people that were in in attendance to the initial autopsy at Bethesda. But also, this is a bigger committee than just the JFK assassinations. We're also expanding into Epstein, COVID origins, 9/11s, and then UAPs and USOs. And so before, where we initially had some of these hearings, this is going to be an encompassing committee that's going to work directly with the White House on information that they're declassifying.
Just to be clear, yeah. You mentioned the Warren, there's the Warren committee, mm-hmm. but also the Select.
Correct. Correct. There's actually three different government investigations into the JFK assassination. But again, this committee is expanding not just there, but outwards into other fields. And again, we're working directly with the White House. In previous investigations, they didn't have access to the information that we are going to have access to. And so that's a big deal, especially if you're looking at what truly happened with JFK.
Are you going to get a top secret clearance?
I already have a top secret clearance.
You do
all members of Congress have a TSCI. The question is do we get SAP access, of which Chairman Comer has been very supportive and will be getting SAP access as well. Okay, two more and then we're going to wrap it up.
Obviously, some of the questions on some of these topics, whether it's Jeffrey Epstein or COVID-19, the questions are obvious. What specifically, though, are the questions you're looking to get answered with regards to September 11th?
We just want the truth. How much did the CIA know in advance? But also, remember, when you have only certain information that's shared with the American people, that's when conspiracy theories happen. And it's in my opinion that conspiracy theories can be detrimental. It doesn't mean that in the last couple of months we haven't been right on a few things. But what I will say is I think that we deserve to give this information to the American people. I don't agree with the stonewalling that's occurred. And also, how do we prevent things like it from happening in the future? And we have to know the full picture, and the American people deserve to know that as well.
Okay, you can cut that. So from that, again, folks, I don't know if you look at that and say, you know what? This sounds good, has promise, has hope. And look, if they follow through on this, they mentioned Epstein list. They mentioned COVID-19, COVID, whatever. They mentioned 9/11. How deep can they go? Will they go? How cooperative will the respondent agencies be? There are a few issues here that I think that there are a few hurdles they're going to have to overcome. And a reference was made to the House Select Committee on Assassinations. I don't know whether you heard that. Well, she referenced it as well. The questions were a little bit hard to hear, but the... Just so people recall, for those young enough, certainly younger than me, that don't remember this, the House Select Committee on Assassinations was established by Congress back in 1976. Okay, it was through a House Resolution Number 1540. And that was specifically was to investigate the assassinations of JFK and Martin Luther King, 63 and 68, respectively. It was chaired by a Democrat, Louis Stokes, and the committee had 12 members, 8 Democrats, 4 Republicans. It was disbanded in 1979 after the issuance of a report then. The committee's report in 1979 said, yeah, JFK assassination was probably a conspiracy. That's kind of the, that was the finding of that committee, that report. Honestly, and you can find that report online. It's not really worth the time to read, and certainly not worth the time devoted to the topic. It lacked detail. It lacked a lot of things. But the fact is, it happened, and that gives us a basis for comparison, I believe. If we go down that road, it's a wrong road to go down. But to her credit, she mentions stove piping, and that's an intelligence community tactic. To bypass certain levels, throw information out, bypass certain levels within the hierarchy of the intelligence community that ends up gaslighting the American people into thinking that information is wrong, incorrect. So I spend a lot of time on that, but this is important. I kind of feel, and maybe you do too, but I feel that maybe we should start out with things like the Epstein list. You know, let's go there first. Because we can actually work on, kind of like when I operated full-time in the investigative service, you can work on more than one case at one time. You have to sometimes. So you can work on more topics than just one topic. Just saying. Here's another little ditty I found related to the Epstein list. And the information I have that I got about the Epstein list, and I don't, look, it's, am I confident in this? I know the source. I've known the source for a number of years, and I believe this to be accurate. The information I have about the Epstein list is there are so many members, so many politicians on this list. And there's so much blackmail material. It's going to rock DC. And of course, you've got not just politicians, but you've got people in power in private industry. You've got even social media influencers. Yeah. Current. I'll let you think about that a little bit. But maybe that should be released first, along with some arrest warrants and some perp walks and some trials. That's just my thinking. I don't know. Because, folks, the trafficking is still going on. Obviously, not by Epstein, but, you know, Epstein was just the tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you. This is a lot of the fight in D.C. right now. A lot of the blowback is because there's blackmail on all of these people. You can take Amy Klobuchar, who denies, of course, having her legs shaved underneath her desk by a staffer. And I mean, just imagine from there. Just imagine. This is going to bring down the politicians, a lot of them. A lot of Hollywood, probably most of Hollywood. You're going to see, and this is my prediction, you're going to see suicides, both actual and, hey, you know, so-and-so committed suicide. Well, he was going to roll on, so, you know, person B or whatever. You get my drift. But check this little thing out here. This little bit of information that I found that I didn't see anywhere else. This is video two or cut two. Listen to this victim of Jeffrey Epstein. This is only 44 seconds long. But the files are going to be made known. And it's because of people like this and people like you that push push for this release. But check this out. Cut two.
I have spent the last 17 years in my own prison for what she, Jeffrey, and all the co-conspirators did to me. I was raped repeatedly. I was raped three times a day sometimes. And I was not the only girl on that island. There was a constant stream of girls being raped over and over and over again. And yes, Ghislaine must die in prison because I've been in hell and back for the last 17 years.
And 27 for me.
I was 10 years old when Liz Stein was being trafficked. I was 10. That is how long the sex trafficking ring has been going on.
That does continue. That clip there, though, that was from the sentencing of Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's body girl, whatever you want to call her. And the stories are horrific from that island, from his penthouse in New York, from his ranch in the desert southwest. And folks, this also, in a very tangential way, connects a little bit with Jimmy Savile. But more importantly, and if you know the story of Savile, that's one of the most grotesque and upsetting stories you'll ever hear. Jimmy Savile was a pedophile. He was a piece of human garbage. He was demonic, raping and killing children, and embraced by the royal family of the UK, embraced by people here. These are all connected. And folks, while I'm talking, I'm going to tell you right now, look, Pizzagate was absolutely real. I've talked about it on InfoWars. I've talked about it on this platform. And I was ridiculed for it. I had people threatening to sue me pretty much on a weekly basis. I was told never to talk about it again. But I'll tell you something. Pizzagate, ill-named, okay? Improperly named. And totally misunderstood. But it's still happening. Still happening. And people like the one in cut three, this is just 50 seconds long, are a big part of it. And this guy better hear the clang of state jewelry, Commonwealth jewelry, state jewelry, whatever. In my personal assessment, this man needs to be put away after being put on trial. This is cut three.
Now, one of the issues that's dogged you is that of your relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Do you regret the relationship that you maintained with him against Melinda's advice and wishes?
Oh, I've said that you're going way back in mm-hmm. time. But yeah,
new audience.
I will say for the, over 100th time, yeah, I shouldn't have had dinners with him.
Epstein had a way of sexually compromising people. Is that what Melinda was warning you about?
No. I mean, it's no, I had dinner with him and that's all.
And that you regret the relationship, the acquaintance?
That I had dinner with him.
And the relationship between the foundation and Epstein, which
there never was any relationship of any kind.
Of course not. You folks believe that? Seriously. That's okay. I'm beginning to think the more money you have, the more perverse you are. In this case, you got to be kidding me. Obviously, I'm not sure when that interview took place, but more and more is coming out about the role of Gates, about the role of others with Epstein. So this list, I believe, as it is released, will have the necessary context. Bill and Hillary Clinton as well. And you know the files that the emails that came out, the Clinton emails, referencing various activities, including but not limited to sacrificing a chicken in her backyard. I know that's kind of seems like a out there, right? Marina Abramovic, the Podestas. Oh, this is absolutely real. But these people also, because they have a lot to hide, and because what could be awaiting them would be a terminal kind of sentence, They're going to fight with everything they have to keep everything quiet. And we're going to fight with everything have to everything we have to expose them. I could plug my books. I backed into them. That's a bad way of saying it. I stumbled into satanic ritual abuse, child abuse, back in 1987. I wrote about it in two books. If you go to Amazon, you can find both my books there. Stained by Blood and In the Dark of Night, third one coming out soon. But I didn't know. I had no idea this stuff existed. The MK Ultra was a big part of it. Still is a big part of it. May have a different operational name, but same thing. Folks, I'm telling you right now, this stuff is real. It's really happening. But the exposure part of this, it's coming. The exposure is coming. All right. Let me just grab this here. Okay, we have I included 1, 2, 3, 4. I included 4 video snippets of Nick Sorter, who's a social media influencer, approaching people, approaching the Congress, members of Congress, who are fighting this exposure. And I put them, I have them all together in the show notes from video 4 to video 7, inclusive. And this is not, I didn't combine these for any other reason. But I think to be instructive, because this, I believe, is what we all need to be doing. If you're physically capable, and if this is your calling, and again, it's a question, is this your calling? If you're physically capable of doing this and you're able to do this, I think this should be done. And that is getting in the face of every member of Congress, every person out there that in public life that is adversely affecting the exposure of information. For example, President Trump shutting down USAID or attempting to essentially shut it down, right? And then you've got these judges getting in the way. Well, who's behind this? A lot of these people, a lot of the members of Congress benefit by this money. They benefit because they're getting, it's going out the front door, coming in the back door of these politicians' pockets. Now, how do you start out making $174,000 a year plus a little per diem for expenses? And 2 years later, you're worth $5 million. How does that work? It works because, in part, without going into the mechanics, it works because we let it work. We let it work for a long time. Now we are calling people on this. And you're going to hear about the activists, the judges, the Soros-backed DAs, all of this. But this is what we need to do. So this is more instructive, in my view, than informative. Video 4, cut 4, is Nick Sorter approaching Maxine Waters and her entourage. Why is she so against government transparency? Why is Maxine Waters, you can't do that, Donald Trump. You can't do that, Elon Musk. You cannot. We can't have this out there. You can't do it. Why the hell not? What do you have to hide? You've been in government too friggin' long. Corrupt piece of crap. And everyone around her and these people are corrupt as well. go through these very quickly. I'm going to give you a warning. There's some it's a language warning. If just saying, okay, just saying, language warning for the next 1, 2, 3, 4 videos. But it's worth it. Again, it's instructive. Here's cut 4.
Right, she's got to go get in her big black taxpayer-funded SUV.
Oh, yeah, that's what happens when you're a member of Congress.
No, that's what happens when you don't have transparency in the government. Why do you deserve a big black taxpayer-funded SUV? Is that why you're so against Doge? Is that what the problem is? What's up with the lack of transparency in your... What's the problem with transparency? Who the fuck are you? Why are you pushing? What is the problem with Doge? What is the problem with... Get the fuck off!
Well, I guess they weren't too happy with him approaching Maxine Waters. But you know what? We have every right. They have every right. He has every right. We have every right to hold them to account. You have more of this. You're going to have less of the Maxine Waters behavior. We have to hold their feet to the fire, and we have to play dirty legally, but we have to play firmly, I guess is what I'm saying. Demand accountability. Let's go to, here's Arianna Pressley. This isn't too bad because this bald woman doesn't say anything. Why? Because anything she would say would be a lie. Watch the people around her. But look at the way she looks at Sorter. This is video 5. Here it is, 57 seconds long.
About the fact that FEMA just spent $59 million housing illegal immigrants while people in Western North Carolina lived in tents for the past 4 months. What do you have to say about that? Do you accept that? Do you accept the fact that because Doge exposed that today, it sounds like you have a big problem with the fact that Doge... I'm not blocking her. Are you okay with that? Do you condemn the fact that Doge exposed FEMA for sending $59 million to house illegal immigrants today?
Excuse me, sir.
Do you condone that?
Excuse me, sir.
I don't know who.
I tell you what. I don't know who you are.
Let's go.
You're in the way.
I'm not in the way.
You are in the way.
Okay, then get out of my way. Oh, what's that? What's that look? What's that?
Yeah, check that stare out. Talk about an evil stare. Let's go to the next one really quick. Again, this is what we need to do. We need to get in their faces, and we need to ask the questions. Okay, we need to hold them to account. How long do you think they can hold out? You might say, well, they've got guards. They can hold out for a long time. We don't have to make it comfortable for them. Hey, Maxine Waters, she's the one that said, harass them in restaurants and if you see them out and all this. Okay, you know what? Let's turn the tables, Maxine. Let's turn the tables, Ms. Pressley. Or Mr. Pressley. How about Pocahontas? Pocahontas, this is a big thing because she was heavily involved in the creation, the formation of the Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau, which is under attack right now. But it didn't work out for us, for you and I. No, it really didn't do much to protect us. But what it did was line the pockets of Elizabeth Warren, of her husband, second husband, I believe. Here's Nick Sorter again. These 4 encounters are from Nick Sorter. Well, actually 3. And then there's a 4th one, which folks, Eric the Tech is going to just have his mind blown. Let's go to video 7. Here's Pocahontas. Here she is. 44 seconds.
to shut down.
So, Senator Warren, why are you so afraid of transparency? Why are you bothered by the fact that Elon Musk is attempting to expose all of this fraudulent spending? What is that about? What is the problem here? What is the problem with transparency? Do not touch me. Do not touch me. Senator Warren, I just want to answer a question. How did you get a $12 million net worth on a $200,000 salary in Congress?
Thank you.
How did you do that?
Excuse me.
How did you do that? You can keep trying to block my camera. We're on a public sidewalk, so...
Get off of me.
So
you don't want to answer that question. What is it about Doge that's such a problem to you? You just elbowed me, Senator. I got that
excuse
on camera.
Us, excuse us. Thank you.
Transparency is your enemy.
Again, get in their faces. I'm okay with that. As long as you do it lawfully, legally, and you don't hit anyone or, you know, run anyone over or accidentally shoot anybody. I mean, you know what I mean? All right. You got to do it. Or if you do, what do I know? Lastly, the left is broken. To drive this point home, folks, and I apologize in advance, but you got to hear this. I've never heard of Representative Maxine Dexter before. But this is her plan to fight this transparency, the exposure of the graft. Eric the Tech, your comments are welcome after this. This is 27 seconds. It's painful. It's foul. But in a way, it's sort of humorous. And again, I apologize for the language in advance. This is cut 6.
I've been told I have 30 seconds, so I am going to tell you that we do have to, I don't swear in public very well, but we have to fuck Trump.
She's got the hots for the Don. Don't tell the kids I'm cheating on daddy. I want to Trump.
Wow. The left, not only are they insane, they're broken. Okay. So let me get into something that I think everyone needs to really understand. You know that President Trump has gone, he's made some executive orders. Executive actions. He's instructed people to, or Elon Musk, I should say, to audit the government, audit various agencies, stop payments, stop various things. There are seven judges. Breitbart had this. Alex Marlowe, who's just a fantastic researcher and a great author. He wrote Breaking Biden. Now, Breitbart had an expose. And this is page one of the show notes. Let's identify and let's touch on the reasons why these judges are involved in saying to the executive branch, you can't do that. Issuing temporary restraining orders. In what universe is this okay? Can you imagine? See, Biden, he said, no, I'm not going to listen to any judicial ruling, even if it's the Supreme Court, I'm not going to listen to them about stopping student loan forgiveness. But Donald Trump is held to a different standard by these judicial activists So we should identify them by name. First up, Judge Angela Kelly, U.S. District Court for the District of Mass, nominated by, of course, Joe Biden. Now, yesterday, this judicial puke granted a restraining order against the National Institute of Health funding cuts. Yeah, I mean, you got to hear this. The Trump administration had moved to cap indirect costs. In other words, reimbursement for overhead expenses on university research at 15%. It's fundamental to the Trump administration's agenda of slashing waste, but it was met with strong pushback from the universities. And they're making, make no mistake, they're the ones making the money on this, as well as others, maybe in, you might want to check judges too. Now, this woman that you see right there, who the hell is she? And who is she to be telling the president of the United States that he can't do what we elected him to do? I want to know. Like I always say, I want names and I want them now. This is Angel Kelly. She has a history of judicial activism. Elizabeth Warren, who you saw in one of the clips, said in 2021 that Kelly, this angel, has made it personal, her personal mission to bring about change through her role on the bench, which is absolutely right on accurate, but it's been defined by diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. Biden boasted that DEI was a factor in her appointment, highlighting her African American and Asian American ancestry. Say DEI, this is what you get, insane friggin' leftists. Diversity is very important to me. Now, that was during a, she said that during a Berkeley Law program. I want people who bring different life experiences, and diversity can mean any number of things. Diversity can mean any number of things. Race, gender, geography, socioeconomic, work experience, all of it. Okay. But here's the critical part. She also participated in, oh, go figure, the China Judicial Exchange, which is affiliated with the People's Court of China. You know, they're so fair. How has she ruled? Again, as written by Alex Marlowe, she ruled that a police officer, and this is in the past, in recent rulings, no worthy decisions, better stated. A police officer did not have a right to First Amendment protections when he criticized a bill called the George Floyd Act on his personal Facebook page. Really? Well, F you. Do I have a personal, do I have a personal right to the First Amendment? F you, Angel Kelly. Sit on it and spin and shut up. She just dismissed a complaint from Tufts University student who sued the university for tuition and fees due to canceled in-person classes during COVID-19. Okay. And I can go on. You can read this. She's soft on crime. In February 2024, that witch sentenced a FedEx driver who stole three guns from packages to 6 days in prison and 250 hours of community service. That'll teach him. That'll teach him. Stolen firearm convictions usually carry a 10-year prison sentence. Oh, she's woke, but not alone. Oh, and we all know this little gem, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, D.C. judge, nominated by Barry Sotaro, Barack Insane Hussein Obama, wishing his fourth term was still around. Jackson made headlines recently by temporarily reinstating the fired head of the Office of the Special Counsel, Hampton Dillinger, a Biden appointee. She's known for as a clear partisan hack, that's my word, with a long history of attacking President Trump and his Republican allies. Look, if you want to know about Amy Berman Jackson, just read Spygate by Bongino, any book about the Russian collusion hoax, and you'll find her front and center. Or under the table with McNeepads Harris, you know, in my view, okay, allegedly, supposedly, just saying. All right. Yeah. She loves the left. She donated like $1,500 to the left. Okay. Who else? So that's two, both females. We have Judge John J. McConnell. Now I'm going to tell you, these people, you look at that. Look at that, will you? Just saying. I'm waiting for Chris, Eric the Tech. What's his name? Chris. Oh, come on. Chris Hansen to walk in the room. McConnell, this is Judge John J. McConnell. McConnell is attempting to block another spending freeze from President Trump and is even taking the extreme approach of threatening administration officials, believe this, with criminal charges if it's not reversed. This goober, okay, is threatening the president of the U.S., along with anyone carrying out his lawful orders, with arrest. He contributed nearly $12,000 to Sheldon Whitehouse. The scale by which this man has given out his money to politicians separates him by orders of magnitude you can't believe. In the last 30 years, this guy, this goober, this mope, contributed $500,000. You got that much money? Have you ever $500,000 to president to political campaigns? $500,000 to federal political committees. More than any other judge nominated by Obama or Trump. And about $190,000 went to members of Congress, and at least $200,000 went directly to the Democratic Party. But somebody check his laptop history. Just saying. All right. Oh, this is a beaut. Senior Judge Colleen Kohler Cotelli, U.S. District Judge for the District of Columbia, nominated by Hump Clinton. Now, she boldly stood against President Trump's efforts to cut government excess by blocking DOGE from obtaining access to certain Treasury Department payment records, which handles an estimated 90% of federal payments. She's known for having... So when you look at her background, she's known for having sentenced 7 pro-life activists to federal prison in a very cruel fashion. The husband of activist Paula Harlow, 77, who Kohler Cotelli sentenced to prison, was thoroughly rebuked by the judge when he emphasized that his wife was dying and pled for mercy and leniency to this witch. In response, I would have smacked her so hard that she'd be in the next week if this would have been my wife. Her response to the elder dying woman's husband was this. or to actually to the woman herself. Make every effort to stay alive as part of the tenets of your religion. Nasty piece of crap. Oh, she loves perversity. In 2017, she blocked enforcement of Trump's transgender military ban. Maintaining that the plaintiffs or the trannies, and I'm not talking about, you know, from a 57 Chevy, but the trannies have established that they would be injured by those directives due both to the inherent inequality they impose and the risk of discharge and denial of a session that they engender. Well, bite me. Again, these people need to be outed and shamed. They should have financial colonoscopies. They should, and if they're out and about, they should be confronted. These are not regular judges. These are political hacks in a black robe. Every single one of these goobers need to be outed. Every single one. And it's not because they disagree with President Trump. Look at their histories. Oh, here's another goober. Judge Paul Engelmeyer, U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. Oh, again. Hey, somebody check his laptop history. I think we have a Jeffrey Toobin on our hands. Paul A. Engelmeyer. He blocked. This guy is so insane. I mean, think about this. He's a guy that blocked DOJ's access to the Treasury Department payment system. In his ruling, he forbade all political appointees, including the Treasury Secretary himself, from accessing the Department of Treasury data. How does that work? How does that work? It doesn't work. You're an activist. Even Senator Mike Lee was pissed off about this. This is just pure lawfare. That's all that is. Again, check the laptop. Remember what I said about Epstein? Just saying. Not saying, just saying. All right. Senior Judge George O'Toole almost done here. Again, from Massachusetts. Nominated by Humpback Clinton. This guy, he attempted to get at President Trump in two significant ways. First, he blocked President Trump's federal government employee buyout even after 65,000 federal workers, count them, 65,000. Yeah, look at that goober. Okay, so had already taken the offer. Think about that. What if you were that federal worker? I'm just saying. What if you were that federal worker, accepted the buyout, and then this mope gets up and says, "Yeah, now I got to block that." And then he temporarily blocked the transfer. Oh, get this, of trans women. I mean, actually, men. Chicks with dicks. No, I'm sorry, men. Men, period, men. To men's prisons. Did you get what I said? He blocked the transfer of biological men to men's prisons. To which I say to this man, what in the hell is wrong with you? That's George O'Toole. Send him a card. Lastly, to round it out. You got to go with the best. Chief Judge Kenneth Gonzalez, U.S. District Court for the District of New Mexico, nominated by Barack Hussein, insane Barry Satoru, crack smoking, cocaine sniffing Obama. He made headlines by blocking the deportation of Venezuelan criminals to Guantanamo Bay. But that's not all. You know, look, you can read yourself. Look at the other rulings, okay, he made. The pattern by this guy is pretty clear. These are him and everyone else shown. They're political operatives using the judicial system to pass de facto legislation that blocks elements of President Trump's agenda to make America great, healthy, and, you know what, accountable again. You know, writes Alex Marlowe, though the players are largely unfamiliar to the general public, they are performing essentially the same functions as people like the Lisa Monacos of the world, Jack Smiths, the Alvin Braggs. These are lawfare judges and without question the most pressing and urgent threat to President Trump's agenda. They'll use lawfare. They're going to use whatever means necessary to stop President Trump in his tracks. So, okay. So I got to looking at there's that. I got to looking at something. I wanted to find out where exactly are all of the George Soros funded prosecutors in this country. What's the latest? What do we know? And how did all of this happen? I mean, we kind of know, but how much money is being passed through? Inquiring minds want to know. Maybe you think this is boring. If you do, I'll be quick. Hang on a second. Let me check this out. I'll be quick. It's page 2. This is the interactive map of Soros-funded prosecutors, DAs, in this country. This is current as of 2022. But folks, there have been some changes, but this is about correct right now. If you want to put that on the screen, Eric the Tech, this interactive map, page 2. Now, you can expand it a little bit if you want or not expand. I mean, it's interactive. And you can see. I'm going to put this in the show notes for you folks, for you. Okay. This identifies where Soros put all of his money. I should say this identifies the prosecutors, the DAs that Soros has bankrolled. I'm also going to put in the show notes for you a PDF report from the same source. How George Soros put prosecutors in charge. Folks, you've got to read this, or you don't have to, but it would be great if you did read this PDF. It's a report. It's fantastic. Check this out. This is page 3, PDF report. And I'm going to be quick on this. This is the report cover. If you scroll down to a little bit, keep going. Keep going. You can read about the process, about what George Soros did. Keep going through different pages until you get to things that look like a bunch of circles. Oh, stop right there for a second. Okay, that page. Hang on a second. Here we go. The U.S. currently has at least 75 Soros-backed social justice prosecutors right there, supported through campaign dollars and those Soros-funded progressive infrastructure groups. These 75 prosecutors represent more than 1 in 5 of Americans, or more than 72 million of us, including half of America's 50 most populous cities and counties. How did we allow this crap to happen? How we weren't paying, not the chat, not the listeners and the viewers, but we weren't paying attention. It's my fault too. From 2018 to 2021, Soros spent $13 million on just 10 of these goober morons, 10 prosecutor races. And his organization, in all of them, was the biggest donor by far, biggest spender. To date, Soros has spent over $40 million on direct campaign spending to elect prosecutors. And he uses a series of shell organizations, affiliates, and pass-through committees to steer contributions to both candidates and his robust support network for progressive prosecutors, which provide gravitas and perks to pervert prosecutors. That's right. Go figure. All right. Boring, isn't it? Is this boring to you? If it is, well, we can stop. Just go through the report. This is a page in the report. It gives you the idea of the pass-throughs, the different pass-throughs, the companies. Okay. I don't want to kind of front load you with that. Okay. This is important because now this is critically important. The President Trump administration fires FEMA's chief financial officer and three other employees after the agency sent that $59 million on luxury hotels for illegals in New York City when President Trump froze everything. And you had one person who said, yeah, I'm not going to do that, right? I'm not going to do that. Okay. Check this out. This, I believe, is from the Gateway Pundit. This is page 4 in the show notes. And this little chickie, this little beauty, is responsible for spending that money, telling President Trump to F off. And she hates you. Go ahead and show this, this picture. This is former now FEMA CEO Mary Commons. She had to use, this is taken from a YouTube that she did, talking about the joys of social justice, or actually she was talking about the task of FEMA, but it had that social justice, not just vibe, but that it was weaved throughout that whole process. Finally, though, accountability has come to the FEMA employees. Her and three other people were fired. So four FEMA employees responsible for paying New York City $59 million for costs related to the migrant situation. It's not a crisis. It's an invasion. The people in North Carolina, the people impacted by the flooding. You want somebody to be pissed off at. That's who you should be pissed off at. In addition to the Bidens and the Harrises, but I digress. So she's gone. Three other people are gone. That's good. But let's not forget. We cannot forget. I'm going to bring this up. We have to find Mayorkas. Where's Mayorkas? Where is that commie? Where is Mayorkas? This is what he said in October of last year. This is what, you know, interesting. That woman sends out $59 million from FEMA. But FEMA, remember, listeners and viewers in North Carolina, in Eastern Tennessee, in other locations, Florida, some parts of Georgia, Los Angeles. Of course, a lot of people there may not care. Maui. East Palestine. Remember, FEMA's out of cash for disaster relief. You have one flipping job to do, Mayorkas. One job that involves disaster relief. And what do? You call me. You give it to the invading forces so they can live in the Roosevelt Hotel, which, by the way, is owned by Pakistan. Huh? Yeah. The government of Pakistan owns the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City. Just can't make this shit up, man. You can't make it up. But here's what Mayorkas had to say. October of 2024. This is only 21 seconds because that's all I could take of this person. Here it is. Cut. Nine.
Meeting the immediate needs with the money that we have. We are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season.
This all comes as the Biden-Harris administration spent over $1 billion from a FEMA program on services for migrants.
Yeah. And that's special. All right. Moving along. Letitia James, New York Democrat, New York leftist, New York communist, New York whatever. She belongs in prison. This is Steve Bannon post. He had a hearing today where he pled guilty for the financial stuff, which he only pled. I mean, he pled guilty because what are you going to do in D.C.? It'd be like you're in North Korea and you're going to get a fair trial. But here's what he had to say about Letitia James, video 10.
The existential threat is right here in this city. It is the queen of lawfare. It's Letitia James. Right now, Soros has a DA that's running unopposed. He can call a grand jury at any time. He can set up criminal charges on the most bogus efforts. Letitia James runs this deal. She's got a pliant media right here, pliant left-wing media. She's got a jury pool of only left-wing radicals in the Upper West Side of this city. And she's got the judges. She's got all of it. And I'm calling on right now the Attorney General Pam Bondi to begin an immediate criminal investigation into Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, all of it for what they did to President Trump. President Trump, on his True Social Day, laid it out once again. The existential threat to his administration is this queen of lawfare, Letitia James, and how she has absolutely total control. And Doge and Elon Musk and Scott Bessent and all of them ought to be worried about this out of control city. Thank you very much.
And there it is. You know, Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, funded by who? George Soros. Just saying. All right. Mike Davis had a lot to say about the judges that I went through. And Mike Davis is just a fantastic legal mind. He was on with David Bratt today on Real America's Voice. He had really laid out some good issues with respect to, okay, what do you do when the left is trying to, when the, not the left, but when the deep state is trying to clog up your cleanup? When you've got these judges throwing dirt on your just cleaned carpets, your floor, whatever. What do you do? What recourse do you have? That was my question. If it was me in the White House, and folks, I don't know if it was you, I would just say F you to the judges and I'd do what I want and say, well, hey, it worked for Biden. That's just me, though. That's why I'm not. Well, yeah, that's why you're not in the Oval Office, right? Yeah. Okay. No. Here's cut 11 or cut A from video 11 from Mike Davis. I thought this was really good. This is about 2 minutes long, but it explains a lot. This has to do with Judge Carl Nichols. We'll go ahead and play cut A. Here it is.
Well, where is the pushback against these rogue judges if they do go rogue? Mike Davis.
Well, they have gone rogue. They've become activist judges who think it's their job to resist President Trump and the American people. President Trump campaigned on the facts that he's going to set up Doge, bring on board Elon Musk, and bring much-needed reforms to the executive branch, cutting waste, fraud, and abuse. And the American people like what they heard, and they elected President Trump with an overwhelming electoral mandate, 312 electoral votes, all seven swing states. And President Trump is doing the unthinkable in Washington, D.C. He's actually doing what he said he would do in the campaign. And you have these activist judges trying to stop President Trump from exercising his core Article II executive powers. President Trump is not trying to steal legislative powers from Congress like Joe Biden did with his student loan forgiveness illegal plan. President Trump is not trying to steal judicial power from the judiciary, from federal judges. President Trump is exercising his core constitutional powers under Article II, and that includes, for example, telling Foreign Service officers at USAID serving overseas that they have to come home within 30 days. That is absolutely within his power as the chief executive officer and especially the commander in chief under Article II. And you have this activist judge, even a Trump appointed judge, Judge Carl Nichols on the D.C. District Court, a uniparty judge, a big mistake by President Trump in his first term, telling the president that 30 days is not long enough for Carl Nichols. So he has to give these USAID employees 6 or 9 months or whatever Carl Nichols thinks is the appropriate time, because apparently Carl Nichols thinks he's the commander in chief instead of a district court judge in D.C. You have.
Okay, so that's Mike Davis outlining one ruling, one judge, one problem. Now, the conversation continues. There's two parts to this. What's the recourse? What is the recourse? Let's start first with the Treasury Department, and then we're gonna go to full recourse of all aspects of this problem. This is cut B. This is from the same interview, and then I have a minute from the same interview later on. Okay, but listen to what he says. Because it's important. Because I'm thinking, hey, I'm just going to use a wrecking ball. You know, in my view, I would just say, screw that, screw this. I'm not listening. And I've been there. I threw a TV at a judge one time. That's when the TVs were, you know, in court. Of course, I was asked never to come back, but, and the judge was sanctioned because he called me names. he had to be there. So if it were me, I'd say F you. I'm not doing it. You can cry. You can threaten me all you want. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I remember the judge, he's passed on now. The guy was, you want me to tell you about this story? You want to hear it real quick? You've probably heard it before. Chat, you want me to tell it real quick? What do you think? What the heck? I was testifying. It was a million-dollar case. I'm going to tell it anyway. Screw it. I'm going to tell it anyway. It was a million-dollar liability case where this guy supposedly could not never work again. I'm sorry. It was a $5 million case. Upstate New York could never work again, and was suing the insurance carrier for $5 million for wages not yet earned, but can't because he hurt himself at his job. And I went in under a, I had conducted surveillance of him When that didn't really turn out or turn much because of the high dollar amount, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in under a pretext and talk to him under a pretext, which is allowed by New York State law if you know how to do it properly. If you don't, then you can violate the corresponding with a plaintiff who's represented rule and run afoul with the courts. But I didn't do that. I did it the right way. Went in and I was able to get all sorts of admissions and financial statements because this guy was working. And oh man, it was just a fantastic motherload of information. And of course, discovery, through the discovery process that happened, and the guy found out that, you know, oh boy. And his attorney found out that he admitted all this to me and I was not who I said I was. And oh, it was just a very unhappy time in that household, I can guarantee you. But moving along, at the hearing or the trial, I walked out. The insurance carrier, again, $5 million on the hook. And the doctors that he went to, the independent medical examiners, said, oh, yeah, you know, the guy, although they, you know, it's somewhat subjective. The guy's, if he can't work, you know, I'm going to sign off on it. So anyway, so I was called to testify. I got up on the witness stand and I'm sitting there. And, of course, got sworn in. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'm going to walk out of here and everything's just going to be hunky-dory and, you know, go have a beer afterwards, right? Yeah. And so the attorney questioned me. Now, this is a civil case. This is not a criminal case. But the insurance company was going to file criminal charges, which kind of the judge knew, and that really pissed him off. So anyway, so I got up on the stand and the judge said, or the attorney from our side was questioning me, and okay, how'd you get this information? And I said, well, I contacted the plaintiff under a pretext of being, and I won't get into the details. But next thing I hear is this bang. It's like, what just happened? You know, so it stopped me in my verbal tracks. And I look at the judge who's staring down at me and half getting up, okay, as best this old man could, and said, get out of my courtroom. I said, excuse me. And I looked at the attorneys, and both attorneys were sitting there with their mouths open. There's a bailiff standing there like, what, huh? What just happened? What'd I miss? And the judge says, get the out of my courtroom. I'm not going to have liars in my courtroom. And man, there were objections flying everywhere and people, you know, it was a circus. And the guy suing was like, what? I mean, man, it was just crazy. The attorney that asked me the question was yelling, objection, objection. The family was like, they were standing up for some reason. Over time, things kind of, but anyway. So, I looked at the attorney and the judge is still yelling and cursing me out. Like, you can't, I mean, I thought this guy was going to punch me, the judge, and I didn't do anything wrong. And, he said, take your effing evidence with you and get the F out of my courtroom right now. Get out. And I figured, okay, I better go. So, it was a small television. This was a non-jury trial. I'm sorry if I indicated otherwise. A small television. I guess that big. with a built-in VCR. You remember those, right? Probably weighed, I don't know, 40, 50 pounds, whatever. And it was on one of those, the court put it on the roller thingers. So I said, okay. And my attorney was saying, you know, come on, let's go. Get you out of here, because whatever's up this guy's ass is going to stay there. Man, I'll tell you, I got off the stand, that walked down. This is a true story, I swear. I got off the stand, I walked down. I grabbed the television, which was plugged in. I forgot. And by the way, this was my TV VCR combo, just so you know. It wasn't the county in the upstate New York. This is mine. You had to bring your own back then. I grabbed it, and apparently I wasn't moving fast enough for this judge. So he called me, he said, you son of a bitch, I don't ever want to see you ever again. You're a lying sack of shit. I ain't lying. I got witnesses. So I took the TV and I threw it at him. Of course, look, the bench, you're not going to hit him, right? Because of the bench. And it hit the bench, and the cord stopped it really from going any further and fell on the floor. And people were like, holy crap. And he's yelling at the bailiff to grab him. So anyway, I was dragged out of the courtroom, and the attorney grabbed the evidence. I left it there, and I was told to get the hell out of the county, which I immediately did, because I figured, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. And that's the story. Eric the Tech, any thoughts? I mean, what are you going to do, right?
Way to go.
So that just ate up the rest of the time. Folks, you can watch the Mike Davis clips.
You tried to do it live.
Yeah. But you know what? That really was so bizarre. The judge was brought before a review board. The review board in New York State, they asked me if I wanted to file a complaint. I said, no, you know, just no. I didn't. But I got to tell you, that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen inside a courtroom. Well, close. There are a couple other things, but we'll save those for another night. Folks, I want to just thank you for being part of the show. And I didn't mean to waste your time tonight with anything, these side stories. I apologize if that is not your cup of tea. Tomorrow, Josh Mez is coming on. We are going to have a great show, a lot of exposure to things that are being talked about, okay, about the Epstein files, and as well as his take on, again, some more AI information. However, it's going to be new, and that's going to be good. So he's going to be providing that. We're going to be talking about things related to everything we can do to expose the rot, the corruption, the perversity in the U.S. And I think it's going to be a great show. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for tonight, for being part of the show. And thanks if you have a chance, just, hey, you know, thank Alex Jones for having me on his show. I'm going to be back on again. I'm not sure when, but we're going to be doing that. If you watched it, great. Appreciate you watching it. Make any comments you like. If you thought I sucked, well, let me know. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's hard to keep up, isn't it? So hard to keep up. Folks, again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for your support, for your belief and your trust in me. And if nothing else, I pour my heart out. I do the best I can to inform you, and I appreciate every single one of you in the chat. And God bless. Have a great night.